Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. In area news headlines, Dubuque County home a total loss after fire. No injuries reported. Deadline Cheryl, Iowa. Authorities say no one was injured in a fire that destroyed a Dubuque County home. Emergency personnel responded around 1 p.m. at 12275 Circle Ridge Road near Cheryl for a report of a residential fire, according to a news release from the Dubuque County Sheriff's Department. At the scene, smoke could be seen coming from one of the home's first floor windows. Cheryl, Holy Cross, Asbury, and North Buena Vista fire departments responded and extinguished the flames, and scene cleanup continued around 2 p.m. The residence and its contents are considered a total loss, valued at a combined $200,000, the release states. The cause of the blaze is still under investigation. Additional information will be released when it becomes available, the release states, and the Red Cross has responded to assist the affected family. Dubuque County Parks Campgrounds open for season. Dateline Manchester, Iowa. Delaware County Parks and Campgrounds have opened for the season. Delaware County Conservation operates campgrounds at Bailey's Ford, West Turtle Creek, and Twin Bridges Park. Coffins Grove Park Campground and the number one shelter are closed this season due to renovation projects. Visit DelawareCounty.com or .iowa.gov/conservation for more information on county parks. Authorities say driver airlifted following Joe Davis County crash. Dateline Skills Mound, Illinois. Authorities said a driver was airlifted following a single vehicle crash in Joe Davis County. Andrew F. Gray, 22, of Hartford, Wisconsin, was airlifted to OSF St. Anthony Medical Center, Rockford, for treatment of his injuries, according to the Joe Davis County Sheriff's Department. A press release states that Gray was driving at a high rate of speed north on North Culvert Road in rural Skills Mound at approximately 4:30 p.m. Monday when he failed to negotiate a 90-degree curve in the roadway. Gray's vehicle left the roadway, entered an alfalfa field, crashed through a fence, and struck a tree. Gray was cited with failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. Authorities continue to investigate the crash. Local Abbey banks on beavers to improve water quality. Story by Grace Nyland. Grace.Nyland at thmedia.com. Dateline Piasta, Iowa, where some might see a pile of soggy sticks. John Schroeder sees a path toward ecological resiliency. Schroeder works as forest manager at New Melloray Abbey, a Trappist monastery in rural Piasta. He is in charge of managing the roughly 1,400 acres of woodlands around the abbey with a focus on water quality and biodiversity. Recently, Schroeder has identified a new ally to aid in his efforts, beavers. Beavers are basically nature's engineers, he said. They're up there with wolves in terms of species that have the most impact on their lived environment, and almost 100% of that change is for the better. Schroeder said the abbey currently is home to two active beaver colonies along Catfish Creek, which, like many Iowa waterways, has experienced a decline in water quality over the past several decades. There are several empty dams there, too, left behind after the colonies moved to build in other portions of the stream with a denser tree canopy. Dams help introduce variety into a stream's path, Schroeder said, introducing new bends or oxbows. The dams also act as a sort of natural speed bump, slowing down the flow of water to allow for increased water filtration and sediment storage. As the water falls and runs off, it picks up steam and picks up more sediment and dirt that ends up in the stream, Schroeder said. If that stream goes too quickly, gravity doesn't have enough time to separate out the water from the dirt, and all that ends up rushing out and away to the river. To bolster their efforts, Schroeder is working with his team to create a more beaver-friendly environment around the abbey by reducing trapping, managing the nearby prairie lands, and increasing the biodiversity of the abbey's woodlands. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach, he added, but it's one that's gaining steam in other portions of the country. You see these sorts of projects in the Northeast and along the West Coast, and they've been seeing some really positive results, Schroeder said. I figure if it can work there, then it could work here, too. The initiative is part of the Abbey's larger plans for sustainable management of its woodlands and the surrounding farmland. Sam Mulgrew, who helps oversee the Abbey's forest management, said the various efforts are a natural byproduct of the Trappist's dedication to protecting and restoring the natural environment around the Abbey. "The monks see the earth as God's gift to us all," Mogru said. "As such, being good stewards of the earth and making sure it is there for use by the next generation is a principle and a value they hold very dearly." Shorter added that the Abbey is taking an "if you build it, they will come" approach by curating an environment they hope will encourage additional beaver activity. In portions of the creek less suitable for the animals, however, there are also ways to mimic their behavior and its benefits. Schroeder is currently working with the Army Corps of Engineers to finalize a plan for implementation of beaver dam analogs called BDAs. BDAs are human-made complexes that are designed to mimic the structure and function of a naturally created beaver dam by sandwiching natural materials together at strategic locations along the stream bed. The Abbey is considering constructing several such structures along Catfish and Prairie Creeks in portions of the waterways where beavers can't or won't migrate naturally, Schroeder said. "If we can't get the beavers in to do the work themselves, we'll do it for them," he said. "There's a little bit more input on our part, but it's still a fairly cost-effective way to do what we want to do." New Melloray Abbey provides roughly half of the funding for various forestry efforts. Schroeder added, while the remainder comes from federal cost-sharing aid programs or different grants. Last fall, work began to plant over 12,000 new trees and other vegetation along Catfish and Prairie Creeks to increase the riparian buffer and reduce the spread of pollutants from nearby agricultural land into the waterway. Eric Schmeckel, program director for Dubuque County Watershed, said the new Melloray project is an example of an innovative end of field practice that allows for better uses of the land around agricultural fields. "There's a lot of really interesting, really fun ways people can try out those practices. And what John is doing over there at the Abbey is a really good example," Schmeckel said. Schroeder acknowledged, however, that beavers can't do it all, adding that the rodents don't always have the best reputation in the farming community thanks to their habit of stealing snacks or building materials from nearby fields. The increased riparian buffer between streams and their surrounding farmland should address some of those concerns, he said, as well as the fact that trapping will remain in place to keep the local beaver population under control. "I always tell people that this project isn't about stopping trapping or stopping agriculture use around the stream," Schroeder said. "We're not hitting the brakes on those things. We're just taking the foot off the gas a little bit to see where we can go." Love That Lasts. Dancing leads to nearly 60 years together for Galena couple. Story by Michelle London, michelle.london, thmedia.com. Dateline, Galena, Illinois. When Rita O'Neill worked in the laundry department at Finley Hospital in Dubuque in 1959, she often would stop for gas in her distinctive pink and white 1955 Ford at Martin's Filling Station on Locust Street. Dan Wallers, who had just completed a two-year stint in the military, was working at Martin's, and it was usually the guy who washed her windshield and filled up her gas tank. "I was dating about 12 other girls," he said. "The nurses at the hospital would always come in and cash their paychecks, which had their name and phone number on it, so I had a lot of girlfriends. But then Rita came along." One day, as Rita pulled out of the gas station, Dale turned to his boss and said, "I'm going to marry that girl someday." His boss laughed and said, "No, you're not." Dale, now 82, proved him wrong. He invited Rita to be his plus one at a cousin's wedding. After that first date, they were firmly in couple territory. "We went together for 4 years," the now Rita Waller said. "He would come out to my family's farm on the weekend, and we'd build fences and milk cows and castrate pigs. We had a good friendship, too." Many dates were spent dancing at local ballrooms. Their daughter, Daphne Nemers of Dubuque, said her parents would attract attention when they danced. "They were the best dancers," she said. "People would stop and watch my parents dance." There was no formal marriage proposal, but the couple began planning for a future together when they bought a house on Southern Avenue and began furnishing it even before they were married. "We didn't want to get married until we had the furniture paid off," said Rita, now 80. The couple married June 27, 1964 at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Dubuque and will celebrate 60 years of marriage in a few months. In addition to Daphne, they also have a son, Darren, as well as three children they are very close to and consider their own, Dr. Lauren Reynolds, Dr. Fritz Liabo, and Dr. Chase Liabo. The trio of doctors are the children of Dr. Mark Liabo and Dr. Gretchen Forste of Dubuque. The family employed Rita as a nanny, housekeeper, and cook for 33 years. She retired in 2017. "I had knee surgery and just couldn't keep it up anymore," Rita said. "That was such a hard conversation. Our family spent every Easter and Christmas, Thanksgiving together. We're still family." Rita's job with the Libos came from her work cleaning houses, a business she started when their children were a bit older. Before she knew it, she had almost 30 clients, one of which was the Libos. "Gretchen asked me one day if I would consider working just for them," she said. "And that was it. I loved every moment." The couple moved their young family from Dubuque proper to a home with some acreage in Piasta, Iowa, where they spent many hours together gardening and canning. A few years ago, they moved to their current home in Galena, Illinois, where they still enjoy gardening, but on a smaller scale. Dale, a proverbial jack-of-all-trades, started out working as a telegrapher for a Milwaukee Railroad, a job that involved 2 years of training. He would send messages to stations, trains, and agents informing them of arrivals, departures, and other instances such as when a load arriving on the train was ready to be picked up by its recipient. "You probably know that job doesn't exist anymore," he said. "So I got on at John Deere as a mechanic." After owning a service station in Dubuque for a few years, Dale went to work for John Deere Dubuque Works. He worked his way up to the top. He worked his way up, retiring as a supervisor in 1994 after 32 years. Not one to rest in retirement, Dale then got a job at Our Lady of the Mississippi Abbey as its farm manager. When the candy factory was built and the nuns of the Abbey found out about his mechanical and engineering skills, they asked him to move to the factory. He retired from that position in 2007. Dale, who Rita said can fix anything and everything, also took on work at True Value Store, repairing lawn equipment. Dale spent 28 years in the military reserves, 17 years with the National Guard, and 11 years with the Naval Reserves. The two also have been involved in the American Legion for over 40 years. Dale has served as post commander at Post 193 in Galena and is currently the district chaplain. Rita is an active member and chaplain of the American Legion Auxiliary. Darren of Piasta said his parents defined what marriage should be. "It's all about being together. They work together, they cook together, they garden together, they laugh together. They probably cry and laugh together and fight together. That's what it's all about. They truly love each other. There's no doubt about that." Daphne said she has many happy memories of camping with her parents all over the country when she and her brother were growing up. "We went all over the United States. Yellowstone, Steamboat Springs, Arkansas, New York for the Bicentennial in 1976. We have a lot of good memories. In January, Rita suffered a stroke, but that didn't seem to slow her down much. Doctors told her it'd be a year before she could expect to see some progress back to her old self. But barely 3 months later, like Dale making his marriage to Rita a reality, she has proved them wrong. "I have 2 weeks of physical therapy left," she said. The doctors and therapists are pretty amazed. Daphne said her parents are soulmates. Mom and Dad always spent a lot of time together, she said, but they had their own things too. They're best friends and soulmates, and I look back and realize how much that shaped my life. Dale and Rita both abide by the rule of never going to bed angry. "There's no such thing as a perfect marriage," Rita said, "but you never go to bed mad. And Dale's a lover." Dale nodded. "We always share a kiss at night," he said, "and I'm a joker. I can always make her laugh somehow." Know a long married couple? Love That Lasts is a series highlighting local couples who've been married at least 50 years. To nominate a couple to be featured in this series, contact reporter Michelle Lennon at 563-588-5655 or michelle.lennon at teachmedia.com. Be sure to include the couple's names, city of residence, contact information, how long the two have been married, and their wedding date. West Delaware principal elected vice president of school administrators of Iowa. Dateline Manchester, Iowa. The principal of West Delaware High School will serve as vice president of school administrators of Iowa in the 2024-25 school year. Tim Felderman will begin his term September 1, according to a press release. The release states that Felderman, who has served as West Delaware High School's principal since 2015, is a member of the Representative Council for the statewide organization representing school administrators and has mentored new principals for the association's program. He has also served on other committees and panels for SAI, as well as for Iowa Association for Colleges of Colleges for Teacher Education and the Northeast Iowa Local Workforce Development Board. To be chosen as vice president of SAI is a chance to make a real impact on the leadership and management of schools across Iowa, Felderman said in the release. It's an honor that carries the weight of responsibility as well as an opportunity to support and encourage school administrators and school students across the state. Galena hosting Grant's Home Front Civil War reenactment this weekend. Dateline Galena, Illinois. Civil War battle reenactments will be held this weekend in Galena. Grant's Home Front Civil War reenactment will be held from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, April 27th, 28th at Depot Park, 91 Bout Hillier Street. The two-day event will feature a full-fledged Civil War camp, complete with reenactors performing the same daily duties as they would have seen 160 years ago. A home-cooked breakfast will be served Saturday morning. Reenacted battles will be held at 11:30 a.m. Saturday and 1:30 p.m. Sunday, according to an online event listing. More than 3,000 people visited the event in 2023. Admission is $5 for ages 12 and older. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/grantscivilwar. Here's a look at local law enforcement reports. The Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Departments reported the following. Kimberly A. Maurer, 34, of 1015 Bromberg Avenue, was arrested at 8:22 p.m. at a residence on a charge of domestic assault. In other news, Joe Davis County Senior Expo to be set for Thursday in Galena. Dateline Galena, Illinois. A free event will give older adults an opportunity to learn about services in Joe Davis County. The Joe Davis County Senior Expo will be held from 9 a.m. to noon Thursday, April 25th at Crossroads Community Church, 900 Galena Square Drive, Galena, according to an online announcement. The event is being held by Senior Resource Center and 24-Hour Care and will include more than 40 vendors with information on topics such as insurance, home care services, and health. Bike rodeo to be held in Piasta in May. Dateline Piasta, Iowa. An inaugural bike safety rodeo is slated in Piasta next month. Rodeo is hosted by Piasta Optimus and Piasta Police Department and is open to people of all ages, according to a news release. Each attendee should bring a bike and expect bike and helmet safety checks, an obstacle course, and a lesson about road rules. The event will be held from 10 to 11 a.m. on May 11th at Piasta Community Center, 7896 Birds Roads in the upper parking lot. To enroll, go to tinyurl.com/piastabikes. Auto parts swap meet. Car sale set for May 5th in Monticello. Dateline Monticello, Iowa. An auto parts swap meet and car sale will be held next month in Monticello. The 40th annual spring auto parts swap and cars for sale corral will be held from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, May 5th in the Jones County Fairground parking lot, 700 North Maple Street. Vendor reservations can be made at the gate or in advance by calling 319-465-5119 or visiting autopartsswapmeet.net. Delaware County Democrats to hold cleanup event Saturday, Dateline Manchester, Iowa. Delaware County Democrats will hold a cleanup event this weekend. The group's third annual Earth Day cleanup will begin at 10 a.m. Saturday, April 27th, with participants meeting at the Delaware County Fairgrounds, 200 East Acer Street. Participants should bring a bucket and gloves to help clean up around the fairgrounds and Acer Street. Lunch will be provided. Stockton Heritage Museum plans presentation on Highway 20. Dateline Stockton, Illinois. Stockton Heritage Museum will host an upcoming presentation on the history of U.S. Highway 20. Brian Farr, president and founder of the Seneca Falls, New York-based Historic Route 20 Association, will deliver the Historic Route 20 presentation at 2 p.m. May 5th at Stockton Heritage Museum, 107 West Front Street, according to a press release. The release states, Farr will share stories from Highway 20 histories, including presidents, natural wonders, quirky roadside attractions, and more. Farr founded Historic Route 20 Association in 2012 after taking a cross-country trip on Highway 20, according to the release. The association focuses on connecting and raising the profiles of communities along the original 1926 segments of the highway and has placed over 300 signs to guide travelers and spark interest in the route. The event is free and open to all audiences. For more information, visit StocktonHeritageMuseum.org or email info@StocktonHeritageMuseum.org or just simply telephone 815-947-2220. Boy Scouts plan chicken dinner fundraiser at Galena Elks Lodge. Dateline Galena, Illinois. Galena Elks Lodge will host a roasted chicken Dinner fundraiser in support of a local Boy Scout troop. Fundraiser for Galena Boy Scout Troop 95 will take place from 5 to 7 p.m. May 15th at Galena Oaks Lodge, 123 North Main Street, according to an online event announcement. Tickets are $15 each, with proceeds used to offset transportation costs for the Boy Scout Troop's high adventure trip to Summit Bechtel Family National Scout Reserve in West Virginia. Eat-in and carry-out options are available. The lodge will also host Jukebox Bingo beginning at 7 p.m. immediately following the dinner. Tickets are available through May 3rd and can be purchased at Galena Oaks Lodge or by contacting Jonathan Miller at 815-541-1137 or Matt Montgomery at 563-599-9318. Case dismissed against Dubuque man accused of leading high-speed chase. The case has been dismissed against a Dubuque man accused of leading law enforcement on a high-speed chase. Cole S. Jonas, 26, previously was charged in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County with eluding. Iowa District Associate Judge Mark Hostager recently dismissed the case, quote, in the interest of justice, after Jonas agreed to plead guilty to several smaller unrelated traffic violations and to pay a total of $1,140 in fines. Court documents allege that an Iowa State Patrol trooper spotted Jonas operating a motorcycle and weaving through traffic at approximately 2:35 p.m. November 14th on US-61/151 near the Southwest Arterial Interchange. The motorcycle was traveling at 97 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone, documents state. Troopers pursued the motorcycle, which sped away and ran a red light by passing between stopped cars, documents state. Law enforcement eventually lost sight of the motorcycle, which documents state. Dubuque Police Department officers tracked to Jonas's residence on Loras Boulevard. Illinois youth turkey hunters set harvest record. Dateline Galena, Illinois. Young Joe Davis County hunters took 27 turkeys in the state's spring youth season this year, and hunters statewide set a new harvest record. Young turkey hunters across state took a preliminary total of 2,006 birds during the 2024 youth turkey season, which ran from March 30th to 31 and April 6th to 7th, according to state press release. The total number of harvested birds broke the previous record of 1,733 set in 2020 and bested the 2023 total by more than 700 turkeys. The 27 birds harvested in Joe Davis County in 2024 bested the 18 turkeys taken during the 2023 spring youth season. Piasta raised to support melanoma prevention. Dateline Piasta, Iowa, an annual race to raise funds for melanoma awareness and education will be held next month in Piasta. The Outrun the Raise 5K walk, run, and bike ride will be held May 18th, according to online organizer, according to event organizer. The 5K begins at 9:15 a.m. and Kids Run will be held at 8:45 a.m. and online announcement states. The races begin and end at Piasta Community Center. The 5K race costs $25 for individuals ages 20 and older and $15 for those 19 or younger until May 11th. The Kids Race costs $10 to enter until May 11th. The price includes a t-shirt. Entry fees will increase after May 11th. Online registration ends at midnight, May 17th. On-site registration will be from 8 to 8:30 a.m. the day of the race. The bike ride will start at 1 p.m. at Dark Brew Tap House with options for a 24 or 38-mile route. Entry is a free will donation. Funds raised will go towards supporting melanoma prevention efforts such as grant program for SunSafe Projects, a billboard campaign, educational initiatives, and a program distributing free sunscreen. To register for the race, go online at tinyurl.com/4p85yryx. Camp Courageous to host open house breakfast event. Dateline Monticello, Iowa. Camp Courageous will hold its annual omelet breakfast and open house from 8 a.m. to noon Sunday, April 28th at the camp's main lodge, 12007 190th Street, rural Monticello. Visitors will have an opportunity to tour the camp's facilities and eat a breakfast made of made-to-order omelets with sausage, toast, coffee, juice, and milk. The event also includes live music, youth activities, train rides, and other activities. Cost is $10 for adults and $5 for children 12 and under. All proceeds benefit Camp Courageous, a year-round recreational, respite, and travel program for individuals of all ages with disabilities. Dyersville spring cleanup events set for Saturday. Dateline Dyersville, Iowa. Dyersville holds residential spring cleanup day on Saturday. Items should be placed curbside by 7 a.m. Saturday, April 27th, according to an online announcement. Small items must be contained in boxes or bags. Gas power items need to be fully drained of fuel and oil. Items that will not be accepted include appliances, televisions, and tires, building materials, remodeling materials, fencing, fluorescent bulbs, yard waste, household garbage, and hazardous materials also are prohibited. Free lunch event for farmers set for May 14th in Jackson County. Dateline Maquoket, Iowa. Free lunch event for farmers will be held next month in Jackson County. Feed the Farmers will be held from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. May 14th at Farm Bureau Financial Services, 102 South Olive Street, Maquoket, according to an online announcement. The event is a partnership between Farm Bureau Financial Services, More Local, Rockdale Locker, and Jackson County Cattlemen, and is intended to thank area farmers for their efforts. Carryouts will be available. Call or text 563-652-2457 to RSVP. Platteville Scholarship Fund hosts annual dinner Saturday. Dateline Platteville, Wisconsin. The Platteville High School Scholarship Fund hosts its annual dinner and auction event this weekend. The event will be held beginning with a check-in from 4 to 6 p.m. Saturday, April 27th at the Bar Inn, 695 Mountain View Road. The dinner begins at 6 p.m. The live auction follows at 7 p.m. Cost is $25 per person, $200 for a table of 6 and $300 for a table of 10. Proceeds support scholarships for Platteville High School graduates. Visit facebook.com/phs.scholarshipfund.platteville for more information. Sign alerts visitors to migrating birds at frequent Dubuque Business Park. Educational signage at a Dubuque Business Park provides information on migrating grassland birds that frequent the area. Dubuque Audubon Society recently installed the signs in an area of the Dubuque Technology Park located on Digital Drive. The Granger Creek Nature Trail passes through the area. The signs also encourage visitors to avoid walking or running dogs through the area's tall grasses to limit disturbing migrating birds. Eastern meadowlark, bobolink, grasshopper, sparrow, and dickcissel are among the species nesting in the area April through August. A QR code on the signs links to information on the birds. Delaware County Race Venue to host American Cancer Society fundraiser. Dateline Earlville, Iowa. An annual fundraising event for the American Cancer Society will be held next month in Delaware County. Midwest Pride in Your Ride will be held Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th at the Tri-State Raceway at exit 285 off US 20 in Earlville. The event features a Friday Survivor Convoy as well as truck drag racing, tractor and truck pulls, a live auction, and kids activities. Admission is $10 per day. Children under 12 and cancer survivors wearing purple survivor t-shirts are admitted free. Proceeds benefit the American Cancer Society. The 2023 event resulted in donations of $132,612. Judge rejects plea deal from driver in fatal Delaware County ATV crash. Dateline Edwards, Iowa. A district court judge has rejected a plea deal submitted by a Delaware County woman who was driving a UTV in a 2021 rollover crash that killed a passenger. Hannah L. Meese, 27, of Edwards, previously entered a guilty plea in Iowa District Court of Delaware County to aggravated misdemeanor charge of involuntary manslaughter. Per the plea, she would not have served any jail time. She was originally charged with homicide by vehicle operating while intoxicated, a Class B felony. District Court Judge Monica Zwereniakli recently rejected Meese's plea, stating the plea agreement did not meet the qualifications for the lesser charge of involuntary manslaughter because the agreement listed speeding as a public offense that caused the death. The witnesses identified in the minutes did not indicate speed was a factor. Ackley's order states, the investigative report indicates the defendant was operating a motor vehicle while having a blood alcohol content of 0.162. She lost control of the vehicle and was the sole cause of the rollover and the subsequent death of the victim. Judges are not bound to approve plea agreements even when prosecutors have signed off on the deal. Plea negotiations will now resume and a new plea hearing is set for June 4th. You are listening to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024 on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. Walter J. Burke. Walter J. Burke, age 68, of Dubuque, passed away at 8:39 a.m. Saturday, April 21, at home, surrounded by his family. In keeping with Walter's wishes, there will be no public visitation. Burial will be in Linwood Cemetery, Bear Funeral Home, 1491 Main Street, is assisting the family. Walter was born November 30, 1955, in Dubuque, the son of Robert Agnes Wallard Burke. He graduated from Wallard Catholic High School, class of 1974. He was united in marriage to Brenda Thurston, May 12, 1999, at Eagle Point Park. Sadly, she preceded him in death on May 31, 2022. He was a hard worker who devoted his career to several companies, including FDL, Farmland Foods, Turnquist Carpets, and John Deere Dubuque Works. He retired in 2016 from Dubuque Stamping and Manufacturing. In his free time, he enjoyed spending time with family and friends. Some of his favorite activities were going to the boat club, watching NASCAR, and camping. He was a good man and would be greatly missed. Those left to cherish his memory included his daughters Amber Connolly and Kelly Burke, both of Dubuque, five grandchildren, and other relatives. He was preceded in death by his parents, his wife Brenda Burke, a stillborn son, Jeffrey J. Burke. His family would like to thank the nurses and staff of Hospice of Dubuque, especially Julie and Jennifer, for their wonderful care in making Walter's days more comfortable. The family will thankfully receive your support and greeting cards and memorials in Walter's memory, which may be mailed to the Bear Funeral Home, 1491 Main Street, Dubuque, Iowa 52001. Attention Walter Burke family. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.bearfuneralhome.com. Jerome J. Jagger, 96, of Dubuque, died Sunday, April 21, 2024. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday at Hoffman Schneider Kitchen Funeral Home, Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road. A mass of Christian burial will take place at 10:30 a.m. Thursday at Holy Ghost Catholic Church. Burial will be in the Mount Calvary Cemetery. Edna M. Houselog. Edna M. Houselog, 92, of Dubuque, died Sunday. A visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, April 26, at Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. A mass of Christian burial will take place at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, April 27th, St. Joseph Catholic Church in Key West. Patricia R. Morgan. Patricia R. Morgan, 83, of Dubuque, died Saturday, April 20th. Private services will be held. Leonard Funeral Home, Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road, is assisting the family. Here's information about area funeral services. Terry Ann Frank, Dubuque, visitation, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. today at Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. Service 2 p.m. today at the funeral home. Scott L. Kilberg, Oak Park, Illinois. Service 11 a.m. Saturday, April 27th. Offshore Event Center, Bellevue, Iowa. Reception and gathering. Following services at the Event Center. Mary McWilliams, Cuba City, Wisconsin. Visitation 9 to 10:15 a.m. today. St. Rosalima Church, Cuba City, massive Christian burial, 10:30 a.m. today at the church. David O. Schroeder. David O. Schroeder, age 70, of Dubuque, completed his earthly journey on April 19, 2024, at home, while surrounded by his loving family. To honor his life, a celebration will be held a later date. Burial will be at Mount Hope Cemetery in Maquoketa. He was born August 23, 1953, in Maquoketa, one of three sons to Asher and Catherine Seeberger Schroeder. He made adventure a priority of his life early on and eventually found himself working in the culinary arts as a chef in both New Orleans, Louisiana, and Deer Valley, Utah. He was well known for his skills and enjoyed every new offering he perfected. He spent the remainder of his working years as a registered nurse and found great pride in helping take care of his father in his later years, and most recently worked at Mount St. Francis until his retirement in 2029. He was an artist by his trade, free time, and created many works of arts in a variety of mediums. Many of his acrylic paintings adorn the walls of family and friends to this day and remain as a cherished memory of David's time and his talents on display for all to enjoy. He was also an animal lover, and cats were treated like royalty every day. His devotion to God's creation never wavered, and Dave did his best to spread love wherever he found himself. He enjoyed gardening as well and was an avid collector of antique clocks and anything eclectic. His tastes were always unique and spot on. It's going to be difficult to face the days ahead without David's positive force moving us in many ways. Thank you, David, for leaving behind a legacy of love. Those left behind to cherish his memory include his two brothers, John Karen Schroeder, Sigonry, Iowa, and William Sally Schroeder of Ankeny, his dear friend, Chuck Johnson, Dubuque, along with numerous nieces, nephews, and other people. David was succeeded in death by his parents and his partner of 19 years, Peter Carlstrom. David's family would like to thank the nurses and staff at Hospice of Dubuque, especially Buffy, for all their professional and compassionate care. Online condolences may be shared with David's family at www.tristatecremationcenter.com. Sandra K. Steger. Davenport, Iowa. We are sad to announce passing of Sandra K. Steger of Davenport, formerly of Dyersville. She died at the age of 63 on April 14th. Sandra passed away surrounded by her loved ones after a short but aggressive battle with lung cancer. She was an amazing woman with the biggest heart. She was always willing to help anyone in need. She loved being a mom, grandmother, and great-grandmother, and she was the best. She was succeeded in death by her son, Chad, Father David, and grandparents, Emil and Lucille Rechtinger. Those left to honor her memory include her daughters, Robin K. Van Kulen of Bettendorf, Rebecca Ramon, Strife of Davenport, grandchildren, and other relatives, including her siblings, Rick, Marty, Terry, and Tammy. To honor our mother's wishes, there will be no visitation or funeral services. We'll do a celebration of life at a later date. We invite you to please privately celebrate her memory in your own ways. Thank you for your understanding during this difficult time. Jerome J. Walsh. Jerome J. Walsh, 64, died at Unity Point Family Hospital on April 17th. Visitation was 11 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Monday, and the funeral services was held at later in that day. He was born July 11, 1959, in Dubuque, the son of Ronald and Mary Jurgens Walsh. He graduated from Duke Senior High School. He met Cindy Braid Walsh in 1988, and they were married on March 23, 1996, in Dubuque. He retired from the City of Dubuque Street Department after 38 years of service. He was proud of his ability to run any equipment, especially his dozer work for 17 years at the landfill. He was a Green Bay Packer fan and would often be on the phone with Mark or Ray while he was alive during the season discussing the game. He was also an avid New York Yankees fan, so much that he and Cindy's honeymoon was centered around Yankees spring training. He got to visit the old Yankee Stadium in 2008 before the present stadium was completed, and his favorite player was Thurman Munson. He liked to go to drag races with friends, and he had a 1957 that he would work on. Since retirement, he liked to do simple things like sitting on the porch, listening to music, and tossing a ball for his puppy, Millie. Following a stroke 2 years ago, he spent a lot of time watching TV when it's too cold to sit outside. He is survived by his wife of 28 years, Cindy Cynthia Braid Welsh, and his daughter, Stephanie Michael Kane, grandchildren, and other relatives. Family would like to thank all the staff at Unity Point, Finley ICU and the fifth floor. Thanks for putting up with a grumpy old man. You're all so kind and attentive, and you'll never know how much I appreciate all of you. In other area news, Arboretum event to showcase tea. An event at the Dubuque Arboretum and Botanical Centers will combine potting plants and tea. Tea party, potting, and food will be held from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday, April 28th at the Arboretum, 3800 Arboretum Drive. The event features Grace Dean, owner of Byzantium in Dubuque and master herbalist with more than 35 years of tea and herb blending experience. The cost is $35. Register by calling 563-556-2100 or visiting dubuquearboretum.com. Net. Authorities say driver airlifted following Joe Davis County crash. Scales Mound, Illinois. Authorities said a driver was airlifted following a single vehicle crash in Joe Davis County. Andrew F. Gray, 22, of Hartford, Wisconsin, was airlifted to OSF St. Anthony Medical Center, Rockford, for treatment of his injuries, according to Joe Davis County Sheriff's Department. Man sentenced to probation for role in local ATM skimming scheme. A man has been sentenced to 5 years of probation for his role in a local ATM skimming scheme that police said resulted in fraudulent withdrawals of more than $33,000. Ionel Ianku, 55, recently received the sentence in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County after pleading guilty to charges of identity theft and the illegal use of a scanning device. At the time of his arrest, he was listed as a Glendale, Arizona resident. Ianku faces up to 15 years of prison if he violates the terms of his probation per a sentencing order from the Iowa District Court. Court documents state Iancu was one of four people who used ATM skimming devices to obtain card information from customers of the Dupaco Community Credit Union in 2018. The card information subsequently is used to make 79 fraudulent cash withdrawals, totaling $33,845, documents states. Documents describe ATM skimming devices consisting of a card reader that captures debit card information and a small camera that captures a customer's four-digit PIN number. The debit card data is then cloned onto a separate card and used to withdraw funds. Area man accused of murder intends to rely on intoxication defense. Dateline Monticello, Iowa, an East Dubuque, Illinois man accused of a fatal Jones County shooting intends to argue his alleged actions were carried out while intoxicated, preventing him from forming the specific intent required for a first-degree murder conviction. Nathan A. Russell, 39, is charged in Iowa District Court of Jones County with first-degree murder, going armed with intent and felon in possession of a firearm in relation to the November 7th shooting death of Aaron McAtee, 48, of Monticello. Russell has pleaded not guilty and intends to rely, quote, upon the defense of intoxication during trial in this matter, according to court documents recently filed by his attorney. Per Iowa code, intoxication is a defense only when it causes, quote, a mental disability, which makes a person incapable of forming specific intent and does not negate the possibility of lesser charges. The case stems from a November 7th incident in which courts documents state Russell shot and killed McAtee outside the Monticello Fairway store, 420 North Farley Street. McAtee was an employee of the store and had no reported ties to Russell. Authorities located McAtee outside the store with multiple gunshot wounds, documents state. He was taken to University of Iowa Hospital Clinics in Iowa City, where he later died. Witnesses on the scene told officers McAtee had been shot by someone driving by in a black sedan with Illinois license plates. Witnesses said the driver pointed a rifle out the vehicle's window and shot McAtee, documents state. The vehicle was connected to Russell based on an earlier interaction between law enforcement and Russell the evening of November 6, documents state. Store employees said Russell had visited the store within moments of the shooting. Investigators later located a rifle and multiple suspension shell casings in the vehicle that were consistent with the rifle having been fired from inside the vehicle, documents state. Second man sentenced for a role in Dubuque disturbance. A Dubuque man has been sentenced for 2 years of probation for his role in a large downtown fight. Darian D. Wynn, 21, recently received a sentence in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County after pleading guilty to a charge of unlawful assembly. Wynn initially was charged with participation in a riot, but received a lesser charge as part of a plea deal approved by Iowa District Court Judge Mark Hostager, Associate District Judge Mark Hostager. The charges stem from a purported disturbance that took place about 8 p.m. September 1 in the 1700 block of White Street, court documents state. By the time officers arrived, the group had separated and one party had left by a car. The car was located in the 700 block of East 22nd Street, and Wynn's brother, Donometrus B. Wynn Jr., 23, of Dubuque, was found to be the vehicle's operator, documents state. Donometrus Wynn told officers he had gone to pick up Darian Wynn in this area of 17th and White Streets, when the group threw a shovel at him, documents state. Traffic camera footage shows him arriving at the location and getting out of the vehicle holding the broom handle. Donometrus and Darian charge into the alley toward the group, documents state. A few minutes later, the pair are seen backing out of the alley and a shovel is thrown at them. The brothers pick the shovel up and charge back in the alley before running back to Wynn's vehicle, documents state. Donometrus Wynn previously was sentenced to 15 days in jail and 1 year of probation. A 17-year-old juvenile was also arrested in connection with the incident. BizBuzz Sports Bar opens in Bellevue. Countertop store makes Dyersville debut. Platteville florist opens brick-and-mortar shop. Column by Grace Nyland at grace.nyland at thmedia.com. BizBuzz shares business tidbits from across the tri-states. This edition highlights developments in Bellevue, Iowa, Dyersville, Iowa, and Platteville, Wisconsin. Dayline Bellevue, Iowa. A new sports bar has opened along US 52 in Bellevue with a focus on offering homestyle dishes and laid-back atmosphere. Parker's Pit Stop recently opened at 29418 US 52. The sports bar and grill is open 7 days a week and sells a variety of pub classics such as burgers, pulled pork sandwiches, and more. We cook everything homemade, said owner Ty Parker. We have our starting menu out now, and the plan is to add one new item every week until we reach our full menu. The building previously housed Simply Parker's, a retail gift shop run by the Parker family that offered an assortment of items that included custom cheese spreads and the family's award-winning barbecue sauces. Ty Parker recently took control of the space and decided to reimagine it as a sports bar. He spent the last several months renovating the building to construct the bar and kitchen areas while also adding amenities such as pool tables and sports dartboards. The space also was outfitted with a large projector screen as well as two 65-inch flat-screen TVs to display live sporting events. "I've always wanted to open up my own bar," Parker explained. "Every time I go into another bar, I'd find myself envying the owners for getting to just welcome everyone and have conversations with people from all over the community." Parker now hopes to establish his own community hub at his bar. Given its proximity to the highway, Parker said the space is a prime stop for groups involved in car cruises or bike rides to stop for a bite to eat. The bar is also set up for smaller groups or individuals looking for a new mealtime favorite. "We've got a very homey and very warm feeling here," Parker said. "We're going for a great atmosphere that keeps people comfortable the entire time, and that makes people want to come back again." Parker's Pit Stop is open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday through Wednesday and 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Thursday through Saturday. More information about menu offerings and regular specials can be found online at tinyurl.com/Parker's Bellevue. New Dyersville store specializes in countertops more. A new store is open in Dyersville, focusing on helping customers create their dream home through custom countertops and other solid surfaces. Elite Stone Fabrication recently opened its Dyersville location at 819 9th Street Southeast, Suite A. The store offers one-on-one consultations as well as ordering and installation services for residents within 100 miles of the store. "Traditionally, people think of us as a countertop store because the majority of our sales go towards solid surfaces and kitchen and bathroom projects," said operations manager Chris Hanley. "But we do a lot more than that. We can do showers, outdoor bars, and fire pits. There are a lot of possibilities here." Elite Stone Fabrication is based in Lisbon, Iowa. When the company looked to expand, Henley said Dyersville stuck out as a strategic choice due to its proximity to new markets along US 20, and they explained staff can travel west to Cedar Falls or east to Dubuque and surrounding areas. "Customers at the Dyersville office can meet with staff to review their options and seek design advice," said sales executive Casey Schenke. "Customers are urged to bring in paint swatches or tile samples from their home to find the best complement from the store's stock. The thing I always ask customers is, do you like it or do you love it?" Schenke said. "We really want people to be happy at the end of the day and walk away with something they're really going to love." Elite Stone Fabrication is open 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday or by appointment. To arrange a consultation, call 319-640-3710 or visit the company's website at elitestonefabrication.com. Platteville Florist opens brick-and-mortar shop. During one of the most difficult times in Ellen Panola's life, flowers gave her hope. Panola, Platteville, Wisconsin, lost her son in 2019. The loss was devastating, she said, and left her feeling dejected and unmoored. Looking for a place to focus her energy, she began to help out at her mother's florist shop in northern Illinois. "There, she found a passion. I just fell in love with it," Panola said. "It's just an instant hit of dopamine to see those bright, beautiful flowers, and I could really get creative with different designs and arrangements." Panola went on to open Sweet Violet Floral Boutique in 2020 in hopes of sharing that joy with others. She initially ran the business as a mobile operation, specializing in arrangements for weddings and other special occasions. This month, however, she took the plunge and opened a brick-and-mortar locations at 140 South Water Street in Platteville. She continued to do custom arrangements for weddings and other events, she said, but the physical location will allow her to expand her services to include everyday arrangements, sympathies, gestures, and more. "When we lost my son, we received bouquets and flowers, and it really helped brighten our day and gave us a bit of hope in a really difficult time," she said. "With this location, I can hopefully do the same for others." The store's floral offerings will rotate regularly to stock what is most fresh and what is in season, Panola said. In addition to floral arrangements, the store will sell a variety of small gifts such as candles, clothing, and cards with a focus on locally sourced products. "If you're looking for a friend's birthday, the idea is that you could stop in to find everything you need here for a really nice present," Panola said. "I just felt like there was a real void and platform for something like this." Sweet Violet Floral Boutique is open 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. The store can be contacted by a mail at contact at co.com or by phone at 608-218-4430. More information is available online at sweetviolet.co.com. Here's a column by Amy Gilligan, the Telegraph Herald executive editor. Headline is, Gilligan, viewing unifying events from half a world away. I love seeing that two events captured America's attention recently and united people who might normally see eye to eye. Lord knows we could use more of those kind of rallying points, but I had a bit of a weird vantage point for viewing this come together because I wasn't in America at the time. In early April, I traveled to Malta on vacation and to visit my son who was studying abroad there in his junior year of college. All the lives our kids lead, am I right? Malta might not have been a bucket destination for me, but when you throw in getting to see my baby, well, I was in. If you don't know, I didn't. Malta is a country in the Mediterranean, somewhere between Italy, Tunisia, and Libya. It's a string of islands, or an archipelago, to use a word I recall learning in fourth grade social studies and perhaps never using again. As you can imagine, it's a pretty tolerable place if you're okay with viewing turquoise waters in every direction, checking out historical sites older than the pyramids, and eating food with a strong Sicilian influence. It's not a typical American tourism spot, but it's a popular destination for Europeans on vacation. Everywhere we went, 90% of the language we overheard was not English, and only once did I hear someone who was distinctly American. That kind of immersive experience away from American culture is one of the reasons I love to travel. I think it does us good to remind ourselves of the wide world we occupy and get a taste of how others live. But having followed women's college basketball and the phenomenon that is Caitlin Clark for the last couple of years, it was weird to be on the other side of the world for the final games of the season and for a career. Here's my travel tip for Caitlin. If you need a place to get away from the limelight, Malta would be a pretty good option. I'm pretty certain Caitlin could have sat down at one of the hundreds of open-air restaurants for an Aperol spritz and a bowl of pasta in Castasiada and never have been bothered for autographs. It was my first time in any of our travels that my husband, who reverently dons Hawkeye gear on game day, never once got a Go Hawks from a passerby. In fact, we never saw any signs nor heard a whisper about any American sports going on. And watching the Hawkeyes women's progression meant getting up at 3:30 a.m. in Malta for the LSU game via shaky VPN connection to the U.S. While that was worth the lack of sleep, it was strange to be in an environment where no one was talking about the next day. Thank God for social media. Wait, did I just say that? The next unifying event turned out to be the eclipse. When I realized we'd be flying over the ocean about the time of the eclipse, I didn't feel too bad. Here's a hot take. I'm not really that into seeing an eclipse. I mean, it seems like every few years there's some sort of an eclipse. And all the sciencey people say, oh, you have to see this because it's never going to happen again in our lifetime. Then, like 4 years later, there's a very similar once-in-a-lifetime event. So, yeah, I wasn't heartbroken about missing it. Back at the TH office, there was a party planned to view it from the back parking lot, complete with glasses for everyone and treats of Sunny D and moon pies. See what we did there? Aside from hating to miss out on a free moon pie, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to be my thing anyway. Then Eclipse Day came, and I saw all sorts of stories about the efforts people went to see totality, she says, as if she didn't just learn eclipse vernacular 2 weeks ago, and the people gathered together with elderly folks and kids and everybody in between trying to share a moment in that time that happened to be really cool and unique. By the time we're on the road home from our trip, the eclipse was just a series of social media posts and follow-up stories. I never regret the times I stepped away from American life to soak up another experience. In my normal life as a daily newspaper editor, I have a front-row seat for the divisiveness that pervades our society. I see it in the headlines and even in some of the people I interact with on a daily basis. Being away was a nice reminder to me that there is much more in a society than animosity and discord. Regardless of those differences, there are things that unite us, things like a young woman making basketball history and a celestial happening unique in our lifetime, allegedly, that can bring us all a little closer. Let's look for more of those instances wherever we can find them. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thank you for listening.